Merry Christmas. You know, often during this time of sharing a few things on Christmas Eve, I do something that specifically involves the children. Tonight, I'm not going to do that. I heard most of our children be gone, so you guys are here. So I want to say something to the children, okay? I'm going to share some things that you may just not connect with, but I promise not to go too long, okay? And you'll like the story at the end. All right. Tonight we are come to the place of fulfillment, a promise kept, a word turned to movement, a hope realized. After the long days of Advent and the even longer nights, begun while waiting in near darkness, the light comes at us now in full luminosity, radiating our lives in the dusty corners of our doubt and our uncertainty. He is here. Amen, he is here, but not in the way many expected, and not in the ways we often interpret the event with our sanitized scenes and our sentimental depictions. It was glorious. It was mysterious beyond words, something to be held in the heart and pondered, as Mary did in the years following. It was also something earthy and earthbound, God choosing to enter the story in a new way, a way that would be risky, costly, even uncertain. Even with all of the encouragements of heaven, a lot was riding on frail human actors. I mean, we had failed before, and we would fail again. Yet the Lord responded to our need out of love and took the leap. I like the way the Welsh poet and Anglican clergyman R.S. Thomas presents the incarnation in an imagined conversation, an imagined divine conversation, in a poem titled The Coming. And God held in his hand a small globe. Look, he said. The sun looked. Far off, as through water, he saw a scorched land of fierce color. The light burned there. Crusted buildings cast their shadows. A bright serpent, a river, uncoiled itself, radiant with slime. On a bare hill, a bare tree saddened the sky. Many people held out their thin arms to it, as though waiting for a vanished April to return to its crossed boughs. The sun watched them. Let me go there, he said. There was a place of deep sorrow, and need, and our sin, and barrenness of life. There was a real place, a place we know and a place we remember. There was not just an idea. It was a particular location in real time among people who are named. There was a day on the calendar, a moment on the clock face, a blinking dot on the GPS that said, "You are here." So there became here as Christmas arrived, and the baby breathed the Palestinian air, and the story began again. I'm struck with this idea of particularity. I'm going to use that word because we can too easily generalize something as mysterious and amazing as the incarnation, God taking on humanity to be among us. The church fathers declared that even when it is best explained, and we bring all of our reason and our intelligence to it, the incarnation remains a mystery and ultimately incomprehensible. It outdistances our ability to express it in human language. And it's supposed to. In the face of that, we're sometimes tempted to back away from it, to become sentimental rather than pressing into what we do know and what we can say about this great event. Well, what I want to say to us on this night is that Jesus came in particularity, that is, as a real child, among real people in time, in a place that we can point to. You know, there are times in the Gospels when we see the divinity of Jesus, in his miracles, in some of his actions, in his teachings, but in the Nativity, on this night, we have to come to terms with his humanity. It was real, and it was full, just like yours and mine. He remained fully God, unlike us, but his human life was not partial or projected. It was fully integrated. Luke gives us some details, and we have this in the reading tonight, that speaks to the importance of particularity. Luke positions the birth of Jesus within a great global political history. He gives us geography, a place. From the start of his gospel, he's already given us people. And he's attuned to the various characters and factors that surround the birth event so that we will know and we will have confidence that Jesus entered the world and we can know where and when that door opened. Now, there are things that Luke doesn't include, perhaps, that we could imagine. And I don't think we're way off base to do that because, you know, really, Bethlehem was the ancestral home of Joseph's family. So if he had to go there to register, I'm guessing every other one of his relatives also had to go. So I doubt they were alone. I mean, Luke doesn't say they're alone. He just points out certain people in the story. But remember, this is a collectivist culture, as it is today. And with a young woman giving birth for the very first time, I think we can just imagine all the other women and the matriarchs who would have be gathered around, offering their encouragements, shouting instructions, shooing the men away. You see, this is how children come to the world in Bethlehem today. And it would have been no different then. It was a troubled place then. It's a troubled place now. Luke does build a framework of family and important persons. He gives us people. He doesn't say there were some folks. He says Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, Zechariah, John, the shepherds, Simeon, Anna, even Herod. See, Jesus enters a very specific place, a culture, a family, a religion, and a language. This is important to the incarnation. John says in his gospel that he became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. He tabernacled with us, is what that means. You know, that's a very specific and limiting thing. It means all the other options are off the table. To tabernacle is costly and risky and humbling. To enter a specific place and to make the commitment to dwell, but it's where we are as the human family and as the church. We are called to dwell in the world, to tabernacle as an expression of his incarnation. The Irish theologian Paul David Hewson, also known as Bono, said that when he first grasped the reality of the incarnation, he saw that it must be specific. Here's what he said. The idea that God, if there is a force of love and logic in the universe, that it would seek to explain itself is amazing enough. That it would seek to explain itself by becoming a child born in poverty and straw, a child. I just thought, wow. Just the poetry. I saw the genius of picking a particular point in time and deciding to turn on this. Love needs to find a form. Intimacy needs to be whispered. Love has to become an action or something concrete. It would have to happen. There must be an incarnation. Love must be made flesh. Poet Lucy Shaw brings these ideas together in her poem Mary's Song with these lines. Older than eternity, now he is new. Now native to earth as I am, nailed to my poor planet. Nailed to my poor planet. Why is this particularity important? Why am I talking about it? Well, it's because by entering a real place and time and culture, Jesus walked the ways that each of us walks in time and place, with families, with language, with culture. He was born of a woman. The scriptures use that phrase. So are we, everybody here. He was born into a context, a family, so are we. He went through the stages of development. He didn't skip all those things, and we also have to do that. He lived in a town that had its own issues, Nazareth. Could anything good come from there? We also are shaped by the places where we have been. You see, his experiences were what we experience, each in our own way, but in the ways that are most human and most deeply shared across cultures. Jesus' coming was not generic, for in that way, he could not have entered the full human life, which is also not generic. We don't live generic lives, nor did Jesus. Kevin Van Hooser notes that if the gospel is universal, it's not because it's suspended in some cultureless realm, but precisely because it is able to descend into a myriad of cultures. Jesus identifies with a particular cultural place and transcends it at the same time. For some of us who understand this, I would say he's the supreme TCK. And this is why, in the good news tonight, Jesus, through the Spirit, can enter your life. He can enter my life. He can enter your place, your culture. He understands. He can enter your joys and your pain. And it's why we, as his family throughout the world and across time, can actually know unity and bring to each other what we're learning about his life and his call and all the variety we can find. Because each in our own way, and each with our many cultures, we help to write the full story of Christmas, of the incarnation through all of our lives in all languages and diverse places. Because he was born in a particular place and time, he can be born in us as well. I've had a number of mentors that I'm so thankful for, and some are still around, most are not. Most are not. I'm at that point of life where they're just their memories and their conversations and their things that I remember said. One of my key mentors, who was an undergraduate professor and then became a friend of mine until he died, was a theologian by the name of Robert Weber. Bob taught at Wheaton College, and he was a historical theologian, but really he just couldn't stop talking about worship. What a lot of people didn't know about Bob is he was born in Africa. He was born in the Congo, where his parents were missionaries. And he said they had a way in that African village, where they were 150 miles from any city, is those African Christians didn't know about snow, they didn't know about so many of the things that we associated with it, but they had their own way of celebrating and symbolizing the incarnation. What they did was, on Christmas morning, they would gather at the edge of the village, and then they would walk to the top of the mountain that was nearby, and they would gather wildflowers. And they would come down the mountain singing the songs of Christmas that they knew, and they would plant those flowers in the village around the mission house. See, they knew that something beautiful had come among them, and they knew that it would flower in their midst, and they could flower with it. What kind of story are you writing in your life? Am I writing in my life about the coming of Jesus? In this Christmas season, and it is a season, it'll last a number of days. Let's look for those places. Let's be open to where the Lord wants to be born in us. And let's share that with one another. Amen.